Good morning, fantasy friends. It's Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. It is Thursday, July 10th, and we're almost at the All-Star break. We're going to have different kind of programming next week. We're going to have a Fantasy All-Stars podcast that we're going to record Friday, and it will air Monday. There will be no show on Tuesday, and we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming on Wednesday. Good morning, Al and Michael. Welcome.
Yesterday, when the Tanaka news...
Called him Michael. How weird would that be? It's never happened. Michael.
Well, right. My mother calls me Michael.
Yeah.
So. Michael?
When the Masahiro Tanaka news broke yesterday, I just envisioned Adam's face and just him breaking down.
Yeah.
How'd you take it, buddy?
It was just like, I kind of threw up my arms. It's like, of course. That's 80% of the starting rotation on the DL.
You were keeping a stiff upper lip yesterday, I'll have to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, what are you going to do? It's just sports. So we will talk about injuries.
I thought, what was the topic on Monday show we started off? Oh, we started talking about movies, and like they went on for like 5 minutes, and I was like, is this like, you know, the new movie critique podcast I stepped into and not the baseball one?
Look, I'm very much day-to-day with the Yankees, and since they won last night, I'm thinking, oh, they'll be fine. If they had lost, I'd be like, season's over, which is probably the case. All right, email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We're going to talk about pitchers who are on innings limits, who we like right now, who we don't like right now. Josh Donaldson's been really cold. Let's talk about that. Travis d'Arnaud's been heating up. Let's talk about that. How about the big news? Masahiro Tanaka is on the DL, awaiting the results of an MRI on his elbow. So, best case scenario, he's out 15 days. Let's not even talk about the worst case scenario.
Can't even fathom that.
Yeah, so he's a tough guy to replace with all those strikeouts and just how good. He's, you know, like replacing Jose Fernandez. Anything to say to fantasy owners right now?
Pray.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. What else is there to say? And I'm just skipping ahead here to your injuries news and notes part of the notes, and I'm surprised that that's not like a tome unto itself. Man, there were a lot of injuries yesterday.
There were.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really were. It was a lot of bad news.
The Royals had 15 themselves.
Yeah, just on their own.
Alex Gordon, he did come in as a defensive replacement, but he's going to have an MRI on his wrist.
He says he can't swing.
Well, that's, you know, he needs to.
That's half his job, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
A very good defensive player, but obviously needs to swing the bat. So we'll know more about Gordon hopefully tomorrow. As far as the Yankees rotation, I don't know. Who's going to start on Sunday now?
Chase Whitley,
yeah,
right?
Whitley is the leading candidate. But
he threw two innings yesterday.
I know. So that those two things don't really seem to jive, but I don't even know who they would potentially go to otherwise. Maybe a bullpen game, much like the Mariners are doing today.
Right. Now, I guess if you want to speculate, if Tanaka's out a while, could Adam Warren go to the rotation, and would you care?
I would care. Yeah, and I've picked him up speculatively in two leagues already before the Tanaka news, just for that kind of scenario.
All right, Jose Reyes has been playing with a shoulder injury for about a month. It affects his throwing and some swings. He does have 6 hits in his last 2 games, but Reyes made a throwing error yesterday at the Angels. So I don't ever see myself drafting Jose Reyes, like, ever again, unless he starts being, like, a 7th-round picker later.
Is this injury – can you make the argument for me to move D. Gordon ahead of Jose Reyes because of this injury?
I don't see any reason – remember last Thursday,
yeah,
we were talking about rankings, and one of the rankings disputes that didn't make the show that I had brought up was, why not put D. Gordon ahead of Jose Reyes,
right,
at this point?
And make your case.
I think the only thing you're going to get from Reyes is more power, home runs. But I think the runs scored will be similar. The steals won't even be close. The batting average, what do you think? Reyes maybe by 10 points?
Yeah, it'll be close, but I mean...
But with the downside of Gordon being, you know, he's been like a .230 hitter in his career at points. So I get that. But if you're buying into D. Gordon, I don't really see why he wouldn't be ahead of Reyes at this point.
I mean, when you mentioned that last week, I came really close to making the switch until I saw Jose Reyes's fantasy production. And here's, you know, again, of a guy of he's on the upswing. He says he really doesn't bother him much at the plate, and that's all we care about. You know, they're not going to bench Jose Reyes because it's bad defense. But I'll seriously give consideration to moving D. Gordon ahead of Jose Reyes.
Yeah, really, for me, it's more moving Reyes behind Gordon. I know it's, you know, picking nits, but you know, I've got Reyes third now, Gordon sixth, and it's not about leapfrogging Gordon over you know, Desmond, maybe Andrews at this point. But it's about how far do I drop Reyes, and I could see that.
Yeah. All right. And Carl Crawford is going to be a bench player when he returns, perhaps today. So looks like Kemp, Ethier, Puig, that's your outfield for now for the Dodgers. Boston DFA'd A.J. Pierzynski, called up catcher prospect Christian Vasquez, who did catch yesterday. He's not going to be, he's not going to get the workload that a typical starting catcher would be. And he's more of a defensive guy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah, they said 4-3. Him 4 and David Ross 3. Yeah.
So who's better, Ross or Vasquez?
What about 6 or 5 game weeks?
They did not say that.
They didn't trust that. So, I'm sorry.
Who would you rather have, Ross or Vasquez?
Vasquez, just for the playing time. I think per at bat, Ross will be a better hitter. But I don't think either one's really going to – I mean, Ross is somebody I've passed over – in deep leagues when I've needed a catcher.
Well, but now he's going to play more.
Yeah, not that much more. Yeah. Three times a week at most.
It's not a lot. But I was like what you were saying, better at per at-bat than Vasquez.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, I don't know. I'm not really going after either, but if in an AL-only league, if I needed a replacement, I'd probably go to Vasquez first.
All right, if you need a Pierzynski replacement now in a two-catcher league, I know that the pickings can be slim, so I saw Wellington Castillo, Carlos Ruiz, Yasmani Grandal on waivers.
What about Steven Vogt?
Yeah, Vogt is owned in 23% of leagues,
whatever,
I think.
Vogt, Vogt.
Yeah, no, he's. Did you say owned in 23%?
Yeah, I think
he's
so.
Low, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I definitely consider him. But I just wanted this Pierzynski news.
Yeah.
Isn't this the white flag from the Red Sox that they're done with the season?
It's interesting because the quote suggests that.
Yeah.
But then I saw, and I don't remember exactly where I saw this, somewhere in the local Boston media report that the Red Sox have been denying it was a personality issue, and a report this morning that completely contradicts that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well.
And there was some anecdote about the pitcher wasn't named, but a starting pitcher who was very distraught after a bad start, and Pierzynski basically just sat there in the locker room and stared at his phone and ignored the pitcher.
Gosh,
so like a lot of stuff like that.
Well, I personally am holding on to Pierzynski in our two catcher league because I feel like he's a better option if he gets a starting job somewhere than a lot of the garbage on the waiver wire. And Steven Vogt happens to be owned in that league. He's actually owned in 19% of leagues, but Al Melchior picked him up in this particular one. All right. Arizona sticking with Addison Reed for now. And Ziegler struggled yesterday, but Reed's got the job for the time being. Let's talk about innings limits. Al, you gave me a list of guys who could be seeing innings limits this year. They include Alex Wood, Garrett Richards, Marcus Stroman, Drew Hutchison, Jake Odorizzi, Drew Smyly, Kevin Gausman, Ruby De La Rosa, Jesse Hahn, Kyle Gibson, Jesse Chavez, and no innings limit for Alfredo Simon per the Cincinnati Inquirer. So from this list,
I contributed to this, by the way.
Yeah, oh, it was a joint effort.
Well, you should have said that in the email.
You're right.
Did I
copy you, Herc?
Yeah, but it's all right.
You did, but Al passed it off as his own. I'm putting this all on Al.
Yeah, subject line was, here's my list that I did all by myself.
All right, well, guys, Michael and Al, who are the concerns on this list?
Well, I just want to preface this by saying that there are few, if any, pitchers on this list where there have been specific reports saying this pitcher is limited to X number of innings. These are guys that Herc and I targeted based on how many innings they had pitched last season or what their max has been in their career. And in cases like Stroman and Hutchison, there were reports that the Blue Jays will not, cut them off early necessarily, but, give them extra days here and there to preserve their innings. So that's going to be the sort of thing that's going to, keep them from two start weeks, I think, a lot of times. And Hutchison, he needs that, I think, to have value. Stroman is a must start to me at this point, even though he was terrible last time out. But in terms of who this really affects negatively, I'm sorry, it's just somebody we were just talking about, and now just absolutely skipped my mind. Oh, Chavez, we talked about.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Because, the A's have alternatives. I think he's going to, come upon an innings limit very quickly because he hasn't been a starter for pretty much his whole career. Now, it's interesting because Simon is sort of a similar situation, but was it Price that we saw the quote from Herc?
Yes.
That, you know, he's a, what, 32-year-old?
Yeah, exactly. He's,
you know, so, you know, we're not going to baby him. We're not going to worry about an innings limit. You know, Chavez might sort of be in a similar category, but I just don't recall Chavez ever approaching anywhere close to a full season's workload for a starter.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about Simon, too, is just what about fatigue, though? That's the thing I worry about with Stroman, worry about with Kevin Gausman, is that they have such, you know, they only went, I believe, like 119 and 111 last season. You know, what happens when they get into the dog days of summer, and are they just going to wear down? And we've seen this in the past. The one name I am really concerned about, and I've been saying this for a few weeks, is Jesse Hahn. Because Jesse Hahn took 2 years after Tommy John surgery to get back into a pro game, and he's never gone more than 67 innings in the minors. I mean, how, knowing his injury past, and I mean, he's been phenomenal for fantasy owners. How many starts are they really going to give him in the second half until they're going nowhere? Are they really going to risk his future? And look what they keep, I guess I don't want to call babying, but Andrew Cashner keeps going on the DL every time he has just a little flare up of something. Are they going to, you know, be careful in that regard too?
Would you be looking to trade Alex Wood or Garrett Richards or Odorizzi? You know, the guys that you just picked up off waivers, like Jesse Hahn, you could probably live with him having innings limit and, you know, whatever, ride it out while it's hot. But would you be looking to trade any of the sort of more established guys who are must-owns?
You know, I think Scott put this very well recently. I think it was on Fantasy Baseball Today when he was saying, you know, you could trade somebody like Richards, but it's probably going to be apparent, given the kinds of offers you might be asking for, why you're trying to trade him, and it might be tough going with a lot of these guys. You know, it's, you know, unless maybe you're in a league with very inexperienced owners, you're going to have a tough time getting the value that you really need.
Okay, how about Wednesday's standouts? What stood out to you all yesterday?
How about Travis d'Arnaud? You have him on the list here, Adam.
Yeah,
go for it.
46% owned. Since being recalled, 300 batting average, 3 home runs, 10 RBI, 3 walks, 13 strikeouts, and 4 doubles in 13 games. And over the last 2 weeks, he is a top 5 catcher in fantasy. Travis d'Arnaud.
Yeah, I've been touting him since he came back from the majors. Same thing, you know, they sent him down to get his confidence up. He did exactly that. Coming into the season, we consider d'Arnaud a fringe fantasy starter. And he's playing like a fantasy starter.
In a one-catcher league.
In a one-catcher league.
Yeah.
So if he's hitting like that, why aren't you going to go pick him up? Because at the beginning of the season, he was being drafted in one-catcher leagues.
Who would you rather own, Wilson Ramos or Travis d'Arnaud?
I would go d'Arnaud.
Al?
I'd rather have Ramos, but I don't have them ranked too far apart.
Castro or d'Arnaud?
d'Arnaud.
d'Arnaud.
All right, Al, who stood out to you yesterday?
All right, I'm going to throw you a bone here, because I know you love talking batting orders.
Yeah. And oh, Austin Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty significant, I think, for him, because he's been so bad this year. And he's just been a much better hitter in his career when he's been hitting in front of good hitters. But, yeah, go on.
Well, yeah, you know, frankly, I mean, I bring it because I think it's interesting. I think it's worth picking apart. But I'm not sure what it does to his value, because, like you said, he's not been good hitting lower in the order. You figure he would be trading off runs for RBI.
Yeah.
But he has hit, and I don't know what the number is. It's some ridiculously low batting average with runners in scoring position.
I'll give you multiple choice.
Oh, excellent.
Ready? Austin Jackson was hitting 180, 204, or 216 with runners in scoring position.
I thought it was lower than all those, so I'll go 180.
Herc, you want to guess? I'm sorry. That's his slugging percentage. All right, since I screwed it up.
Enough said, though.
It is his slugging percentage.
By the way, it wasn't 180 because he looked up and so that was a lie. You could tell at the beginning. So
I thought it was 180. I thought I got it right, but it's 164 with runners in scoring position. Slugging 180. Holy mother. Yeah. So pretty bad there. And then let me just take a look at the run score, because that was the thing with Austin Jackson. He was like a 100 runs per season guy, which really helped his fantasy value. And so far this year, he scored 39 runs in half a season.
Which, considering where he was hitting and how he was hitting, is not bad, really.
Yeah. Well, 309 on base and 39 runs is not that bad, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm look, I think he is going to hit better with runners in scoring position no matter where he's hitting in the lineup. Uh-huh. Maybe there's some mental thing with him, you know, hitting deeper in the lineup. I think it could just be a fluke. So I think he's got to improve that. He has been hitting more fly balls this year, which I thought would really suit him where he was hitting. And I don't know if it was cause and effect or coincidental that was changing for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, look, if he's hitting better as a leadoff hitter, and he had a good game last night, I don't know what the overall numbers are. I think they've been sort of up and down.
Yeah, I think he had two hits last night.
Yeah. I think Jackson will rebound. I would like to see him rebound lower in the order, but I'll take it if hitting leadoff is what he needs to
be. All right, would you rather have Austin Jackson or Oscar Tavares?
I'd rather have Jackson.
Tavares.
Torii Hunter or Austin Jackson?
Jackson again.
Sure, Jackson.
Dominic Brown or Austin Jackson?
Really?
They're owned in the same amount.
Dominic Brown.
Really?
Oh.
I look what he's doing lately. I mean, this could be the light bulb going on for him. So.
Not much. All right, and you're going Jackson over
Brown.
I'll
go Jackson.
Okay. I wanted to point out Alex Cobb had a good start. I think everybody's still pretty high on Alex Cobb.
Absolutely.
Yes. Last week talked about how he has to fix his mechanics, so good start for him against the Royals. Alfredo Simon is still a top 13 starting pitcher in fantasy.
And he could be that all season long now because he won't have an innings limit.
Yeah, but you still think he's going to falter, right?
Oh, absolutely. Not buying it at all.
Okay. And Colton Wong, 38% owned. This was a guy that I looked at last night, saw him hit that home run, and I said, all right, I'm checking all my deeper leagues. And he was available in one, and I picked him up. So maybe I'm just falling for the streak.
You are.
I dropped Alcantara, so I'm not saying drop somebody that's really good for Colton Wong, but three home runs in four games since coming off the DL.
I mean, I'm a huge Colton Wong fan, but home runs is it's not there. It was never there in the minors. He was always a doubles guy. So, I mean, he has power, but he doesn't have home run power. So.
Yeah, a little. Home run power. Not as much as I expect Alcantara to have.
Yeah, Alcantara is probably going to get sent down tomorrow, by the way. We knew it was just a brief thing for him. Let's do the injuries, news, and notes real quick. Part one, Jason Vargas had an appendectomy. Do we know if he's going on the DL?
Probably.
It's 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Alex Gordon, we talked about. Mike Moustakas had the flu, and he was out. Didn't just have flu-like symptoms.
Actual flu.
Had the flu. Jonathan Papelbon open to being traded. He makes $13 million this year and next year, and potentially another $13 million for Papelbon in 2016. Philadelphia unlikely to trade Cole Hamels. Jared Weaver expected to start Saturday. Adam Lind broke his foot. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, so it's been a tough few days tough week really for the Blue Jays.
And Nolan Reimold is probably going to see an increase in playing time because of that injury.
And the guy's not a bad player when
he's been playing really good lately. So yeah,
I mean, he can never stay healthy, but he's got power.
Look what he did at Double-A. I was really surprised that the Orioles let him go for as good he was hitting at Double-A before he was DFA'd.
I mean, I don't really put a lot of stock in
correct
rehab or minor league stats for you know guys like that, but I was surprised too, Herc.
Yeah.
Hey, I know that. People love to speculate on who's going to close if somebody gets traded. So Ken Giles for the Phillies has a .71 ERA and 12 2/3 with 3 walks and 17 strikeouts. And he's he's a big-time thrower. So I don't know. Do you think maybe in like the deepest of leagues? I don't really think Papelbon will get traded because who would trade for that salary? It only takes one guy in Detroit to be like, let's go for it right now.
Well, not that they have a need, but the Dodgers would do that.
The Dodgers? Yeah. They would. Giles, maybe.
What about Bastardo?
I'm really having some memory issues today because I'm trying to think. Oh, Diekman is the one that I think maybe more than Bastardo. But yeah, Giles is. He's been getting picked up in some of the deeper leagues.
Yeah, just for the whip and the K rate, whatever.
Well, and I think for the closing potential.
Mm, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Ryan Braun out again yesterday to rest his back. Brandon Phillips left yesterday's game with a sprained thumb. That one didn't look good. Billy Hamilton left yesterday's game with a hamstring issue, and that doesn't seem serious, luckily. Brett Gardner was out with a lower abdominal strain. I mean, look.
Top 20 fantasy outfielder.
Carlos Beltran broke his face yesterday in BP when a ball he hit, what happened? It hit a screen and hit him in the face. Yeah. just bad luck. He may not go on the DL, though. He might be in the lineup today. He's one of the guys I'm giving up on, by the way. We'll get to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll talk about that later.
Mark Trumbo could be back before the All-Star break. He's tearing it up right now.
This is a pet peeve of mine, because we've seen this with several players this week before the All-Star. Why don't they just say he's coming back this week? That makes it sound like that's like so far away.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yadier Molina having an MRI on his injured thumb. This is another big injury. Tony Cruz would get more playing time for St. Louis, but Molina slid head first. Is that what happened? Pretty sure that's what happened. Slid head first into third.
That's how thumbs usually seem to get injured.
Yeah. Jose Bautista, one game away from first base eligibility. Starling Marte on the bereavement list. Corey Dickerson was out with a wrist injury. Brandon Barnes was in with a lefty on the mound as Justin Morneau actually sat, and Kyle Parker was called up, and he started at first base. Remember, Cargo could be back tomorrow. And, of course, when you're in three down, like Charlie Blackman and Troy Tulowitzki have been, Tulo hit two homers yesterday, and Blackman's homered in two straight games. Zach McAllister is going to start Saturday in Masterson's place, but you still think Danny Santana needs to be owned?
And Danny Salazar, both.
Danny Salazar. I knew when I said it. That's not right.
Yes, I do think Salazar needs to be owned.
Jed Lowry had two more singles yesterday. That's five straight games with two hits and three straight games with two singles. Okay, so what we did was the three of us came up with three guys that we're believing in right now and three guys that we're kind of over right now. Is that fair to say?
Read your headline for this segment. All right.
I saw his face. Now I'm a believer. Now, just so this doesn't take the remaining 30 minutes that we have on this podcast, let's try to give quick thoughts on each guy and then expand on whoever we decide to expand on. But, Al, your three guys who you've seen their face and now are a believer are Alcides Escobar, Lucas Duda, and Matt Shoemaker.
Yeah. Escobar, I just always thought was kind of an empty stolen base producer. Who you couldn't count on for batting average or any kind of power, but he's showing doubles power this year. And so that makes me more of a believer.
More of a believer, not a complete believer.
No, I raised him in my rankings, but that still got him only as far as, 20th in points. I'm sure he's higher in Roto.
Okay.
But I'll have him in my top 12, so I'm not going overboard.
Lucas Duda.
He's mashing righties. He's mashing at home. That gives him a lot of situations where he's going to be a very good power source and not totally kill you in batting average. And I think he's the go-to guy if you need a first baseman or outfielder.
Okay.
Off of waivers. And then Shoemaker, just a out of nowhere performance where he's giving you strikeouts, was very impressed by, and I talked about this, I think about a week ago, Fangraphs piece where they did a study and he has 4+ pitches, Shoemaker.
Yeah.
And so that certainly gives me reason to think that what he's done so far is pretty legit.
He's going to give Nike and Adidas a run for their money.
You know what? That's the second time I've heard you tell that joke. Yeah. And both times I'm like, what?
That's a repeat joker?
I was in my column a few weeks ago. So
That's pretty low. But now I guess I didn't read that column. Shoemaker, who would you rather stash? Shoemaker or Salazar?
Salazar.
Shoemaker or Tsuyoshi Wada?
Shoemaker.
Shoemaker.
Shoemaker Santana. Danny Santana. all right, Herc, you want to touch on any of these guys?
I totally agree with Lucas Duda. If you own Cole Calhoun, you own Lucas Duda. It doesn't matter if they occasionally sit against lefties. They have the same type of potential. Duda's been great since the hitting coach change. It looks exactly like the player we thought he would be a few years ago. I'm on Lucas Duda. The bandwagon.
And that just reminded me of something I wanted to qualify. I said Duda's mashing at home. He's not hitting for average, but he is hitting for power.
Okay. Herc's three, Scooter Jeanette, Oswaldo Arcia, and Santiago Casilla.
Yeah, all right. Scooter Jeanette, just go look at his slash line since they moved him to first and second in the batting order. It's just he's seeing more pitches. He's become a different hitter. I moved him up a lot in the second base rankings, and he just continues to climb. Oswaldo Arcia. So with Arcia, in his last – let me just get this. He has a 393 OBP in his last 15 games, and he has 9 walks in his last 15 games as opposed to 6 in his first 28. What it was is he was saying – you know, I was coming up here and I was swinging wildly at all these pitches. And now he's kind of taking a step back and he's starting to improve his plate discipline. And that's what you want to see from young sluggers. And especially with his track record in the minors, you know what he can do. Right now, the power's not there, which is a little bit concerning. But to me, this is like if you're in the stock market and you're looking for a buy low stock, Oswaldo Arcia has the potential to have a huge, I call him a second half sleeper if he keeps his improving his plate discipline. And lastly, Santiago Casilla. Listen, he's been so good since he's been with the Giants. He has a 2.05 ERA and 1.15 WHIP over five seasons with the Giants. This is his job to lose. I don't care how well Sergio Romo pitches. I think Bochy will be fine with Romo and Affelt setting up for Casilla. Casilla, a few years ago, had 25 saves for the Giants. So he's done this before. If he falters, they can always go back to Romo. But if he pitches well and he has the track record in San Francisco pitching well, I can see him being – I moved him up to like 24th in my rankings, I believe. That's how confident I am of him keeping the job.
Al isn't quite that confident.
No. I thought the WHIP with the Giants had been higher, but even a 1.15 is not terrific for a closer. But look, I don't think he's got great competition. And if he can do what he has done so far, he'll keep the job and he'll be – not an elite closer, but a steady source of saves. So, I'm probably not as high on him as Herc or Scott either. But, I'm using him in one league, so I'm crossing my fingers.
Okay. Scooter Jeanette, you have Herc over – you have him over Kendrick. You have him over LaStella. You have him over Colton Wong, up to 17th in your second base rankings for Jeanette. All right, my three, I guess I misinterpreted the assignment here. You guys kind of took more of like the – surprisingly good performers in most cases, not Arcia, and you're believing in them. I took the sort of these guys are going to get better.
That's fine.
Approach.
All works the same.
And it starts with CJ Wilson, who I know Al disagrees with me on. And yesterday was a bad start, so another bad start. But the thing with Wilson is like his numbers over as a starter, they look exactly the same. The only thing that's up is the home run rate. So, four seasons as a starter, 3.37 ERA. This year it's high. It's 4.33. 1.278 WHIP. Same exact WHIP he has this season entering yesterday's start. 7.8 hits per nine. This year it's 7.9. 3.7 walks per nine. This year it's 3.6. 7.9 Ks per nine. This year it's 8.5. And then 0.6 home runs per nine. This year it's 1.1. So that all those numbers were going into yesterday's start, which was bad. So I just feel like he's too good. He'll turn it around.
You and Scott White, man. I keep wanting to push him down my rankings, and Scott's like, don't do it, man.
Well, I know Al doesn't like it. We'll get back to Wilson.
Okay.
Robinson Cano I put on here just because I think he had that brief little power spurt, and it's gone away. But it just doesn't make any sense for him not to hit more home runs. He's been a consistent 25 to 30 home run guy. Every home run he hit last year, except for one, would have gone out of Safeco. So I still believe in the power for him. And I still believe in Jason Kipnis, who is extremely streaky, hit 17 home runs last year, and I think 14 of them came in 3 months. And the other 3 months he hit four. So and he's stealing a lot. He stole three bases in his last two games, so... anyway, my three are Wilson, Cano, and Kipnis.
You know, Kipnis is not putting up very different numbers from what he did 2 years ago, which actually sort of surprised me. And I recall that he ranked pretty highly that year.
Well, he did. He was really bad steals. In the second half.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he did have a pretty good season.
Although overall. The thing that's different is the home runs, because I think he hit 14 then. He's at three now.
Something
but,
like that.
Yeah. But, you know, and I agree with what you're saying about the power streakiness. It's in, you know. It's not like he's a super-duper power hitter, so it wouldn't take a lot for him to, you know, get back on pace.
So what's your beef with Wilson?
My beef with Wilson is his control is awful.
But it's always been awful. That's what I was saying.
It's awful on a
his walk rate is the same.
But the strikes thrown is not, and I think it'll catch up with him. It's on a new horrifying level. Three seasons with the Angels. First season, 61%. Second season, 62% strikes thrown. This year, it's 59%. I don't trust anybody that stays below 60 this deep into the season.
Is 2% really a big difference?
Yeah, because the norm is about 63%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are guys who, you know, that typically translates to, you know, around or just under three walks per nine. Guys who are 60% lower. I mean, they're like in the 4.5 territory usually, 4 to 4.5 or higher. That to me is a pretty big difference. And going the other direction, somebody who throws 66%, that's a great control pitcher. So the margin of a meaningful difference here is not very big.
Okay. I'll never get over you getting over me. That's our next
well
category.
Done, sir.
Players that you're just kind of over right now. Al's threes are Martin Prado, Josh Hamilton, and Nathan Eovaldi, who is a strikeout liability at this point.
He sure is.
Prado, Hamilton, and Josh Hamilton, and Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah. I'll never get over Macho Grande.
Over Macho Grande? All right, go ahead, Al.
Right, so yeah, let's start with Eovaldi, since you kind of already did. Still throwing lots of strikes, so he could be good for whip, but a real strikeout liability, not getting any whiffs, not getting any strikeouts. And the other thing, too, is that early in the year, he was getting ground balls, and he's really gone pretty extreme in the other direction. So I was actually very surprised that Eovaldi pitched as well as he did at Arizona. That's a really bad lineup right now. Be better when they get Trumbo back. Mm-hmm. But, I'll chalk it up more to that than the fact that Eovaldi's back on track. And he still didn't strike anybody out.
All right, but you're getting over Martin Prado and Josh Hamilton.
Getting over them, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not on board with them. Prado, and Prado's somebody that I think we've all been sort of making excuses for and saying, you know, that he's always, you know, come back from slumps. But he's not the same hitter that he was in the past. He's not a great contact hitter so far this year. He has roughly, because I haven't looked at it in a couple of days, so I don't know if he's gone past it or if he hasn't reached it yet. But as of a couple of days ago, he had almost as many strikeouts this year as he had all of last year.
Wow.
So there's that.
Hamilton.
And then Hamilton. I'm not buying the batting average, and the power hasn't been there, and it's the batting average that's boosting his value at this point.
Okay, Herc, anything to say?
I'm still sticking with Prado. Maybe now you convince me a little bit more that maybe he doesn't really have anything to play for in the second half. The Diamondbacks are going nowhere. They're sellers, so maybe he'll just put in cruise control. But Hamilton's the one guy I would keep. I have faith in. I know Adam doesn't like, not a big Josh Hamilton fan either, but maybe that's the one guy I just disagree with on your list, is I would stick with Josh Hamilton.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got to say, you just made a gesture that was not safe for work.
Yeah, no.
We would have to hit the bleep button on that one.
Yeah. I'm not a big Josh Hamilton fan. Perks 3, Alan Craig, Aaron Hill, and Joey Votto.
All right, we can start with Joey Votto. I mean, I talked about it on Monday's show. You know, they say he's not going to be 100% the rest of the season. We don't know how long he's going to be on the DL this time. I moved him down to number 15 in my rankings, Al. I think I'm going to continue to keep moving him down, especially if a timetable emerges for how long he's, you know, going to be out. When he came back from the DL, no power. To me, he was playing like James Loney. And where do we have James Loney in our rankings? I mean, he's barely a top 40 fantasy first baseman. So, I mean, listen, Joey Votto's been great in the past, but if this injury is going to linger, you've seen what it's done to him. Alan Craig, I'm about done with Alan Craig. Now, especially they have four outfielders, the playing time crunch. I think I'll pick up Lucas Duda over Alan Craig.
Wow.
Yeah, he has potential again, but look, if they're going to go with four outfielders. And then last but not least, Aaron Hill. I wonder if that wrist injury from last year is still bothering him. There's rumors he could get traded back to Toronto. Maybe that sparks his game again. He's going to a good hitter's park then. He could get traded to another team. But I don't even know if that's going to be a major difference for him. Maybe if he gets in a better lineup. Right now, I mean, I could probably go for Scooter. I think I did in the 12-team head-to-head league. I dropped Hill and picked up Scooter Gennett.
I noticed that, yeah.
Wow. All right.
And I pretty much agree with all three. I'm probably holding out the most hope for Aaron Hill. That is, a very interesting theory,
yeah.
Because hand injuries, I can't think of the specific examples, but I've seen the effects linger over multiple seasons for players. So, there's got to be some explanation. And, yeah, Votto, not quite as bearish. I dropped him only to 13th. Herc.
Sure.
But I kind of have the same attitude about him. And Craig, maybe this weekend I'll drop him in a league. I'm definitely close to thinking about it.
And my three that I'm just kind of getting over right now, Carlos Beltran, I just don't trust him to stay healthy. He's just been so hurt this year, whether I think he hurt his hand crashing into a wall, he hurt his knee, he just hit himself in the face, so he's got the elbow injury. So it's just he just hasn't been good enough. Look, I dropped him in my three outfield league, stashing him in my five outfielder league. I'm not doing anything too drastic. But I guess my point is with the three guys is I'm not making any buy low plays for these guys. Maybe Dustin Pedroia, maybe in a points league, but I'm pretty much over him in a roto league. He doesn't steal bases anymore. And if you look at what he's done in his previous 34 games, he's batting .299. So he's playing better, but only two home runs and no steals. Last 28 days, with a .308 batting average, he's the 11th best second baseman in points leagues and 14th best in roto leagues. So Pedroia, I think he'll get better, but I don't think if you trade for him, you're probably going to have to give up a decent amount, I think. I mean, people are probably still going to say, well, he's Pedroia, he's top five second baseman. I don't know anymore, particularly if you need the categories. And Xander Bogaerts, I'm sorry, I'm not just going to brush it aside. And there's two reasons. He's been horrible over his last 26 games. He's batting under 100 with one home run, four walks, and 30 strikeouts. And in his previous 59 games to start the year, .299, five home runs, 17 RBIs, good walk-to-strikeout ratio, 17 doubles. So I get it, but he just wasn't good enough for me to be like, oh, yeah, you have to keep Xander Bogaerts on your roster. He's only 21 years old. He might not be ready for this. And he's dealt with the position change very poorly. I don't know if that affect. It's, I don't know if it's coincidental or causation, as Al would say. But as soon as he started changing positions, things got really bad for him. So I don't know. He wasn't good enough before this horrible slump for me to be as bullish on Bogaerts as I feel like some of you have been. But those are my three: Beltran, Pedroia, and Bogaerts.
I'll raise my hand with Bogaerts because, a different player who put up those stats over a 59-game stretch and then was doing this, I probably would feel very similarly about. But because he was such a good prospect, and he was able to do that over a sustained period at the age of 21 as a rookie, that buys him a little bit more patience for me. I wouldn't necessarily try to talk anybody out of dropping him because I never really thought that he was, so firmly like within the top 15 that, he was undroppable. But I'd have to have a pretty darn good alternative.
Colton Wong. I thought about it last night.
No, not high end enough.
Yeah.
But if somebody panics and drops somebody who's in my top 10, somebody drops Andrelton Simmons.
You drop Bogaerts.
And I had no other moves that looked good to me. I would do that.
Okay. Thank you for letting me yell. Let's go to four up, two down, and our rotation and some fringy starting pitchers. Four up, number one is George Springer. 2-for-5 with a home run, no strikeouts yesterday with Yu Darvish on the mound. Absolutely shocked me. He's batting .238 with 19 home runs and 5 steals. Springer, previous 20 games, 6 home runs. That's pretty good. But no multi-hit games and a .192 batting average. He's a very hard guy for me to evaluate. I feel like the only thing he's doing is hitting home runs, but there's a lot of value to that.
Well, you kind of, if I remember right, you made a comparison with him and Granderson yesterday.
I don't know if I did. I think Scott did.
Okay. But, I think that's kind of apt because I think both guys are top 30 outfielders. Neither can be counted on for batting average. Both could kill you with strikeouts. And I shouldn't say kill you because they do so much power-wise to more than compensate for it. But they'll hurt you to some degree with strikeouts.
Right.
A sub-200 batting average over a 20-game slump doesn't bother me in the least for Springer.
Okay. Top 30 roto outfielder?
Yeah.
Herc?
Yep.
Chase Utley has 6 hits and 2 home runs in his last 3 games. Mark Teixeira went 2-for-6 with 2 home runs at Cleveland, and he's batting .241 with 17 dingers and 47 RBI and a DL stint in 249 at-bats. No, I'm just saying, 17 is pretty good for him with the time missed. And Stephen Vogt, we've talked about, 2-for-2 with a home run. 19% owned, top five catcher in the last 21 days.
You know, since Vogt is playing regularly, you know, sort of all over the place, that is ridiculously low.
Yeah, I just 19%. Wonder about Josh Reddick, who I know has had some setbacks, whatever, but he is recovering. He is making progress and could be back soon. Vogt's been better than Josh Reddick. It's not even close.
Yeah.
But you know how the A's are.
Well, that's the thing. You do know how the A's are, and I don't know that Reddick goes back to every day at bats. If I recall when Reddick was in the lineup, that Vogt was playing a lot.
I don't think he goes back to every day at bats, but I think Vogt will play less. Maybe he'll play as much as a normal catcher.
For a number two catcher, I could live with that, because how many number two catchers are you going to be able to find who are going to hit well and give you more at bats than what Vogt is likely to
get? And
they
don't even have a full-time DH, right? I mean, they mix and match
there. Exactly. Yeah.
But you did also say that you didn't buy the batting average.
No, I don't, but I do expect more power. And, well, he started last night, took advantage of, you know, I think what was a good matchup for him with Matt Cain.
Fly balls?
Yeah.
Right. Herc, you have anything to say about Utley or Tex?
You know, I owned Teixeira at one point this season, and he was good. I mean, he was in a points league. He was, like, at one point over 20 fantasy points a week. And then, you know, the injury, and that was my biggest concern. Why I dropped him, and I, you know, I understand why we don't have him ranked so high because of the injury concerns. And look, he's hitting 256. Power's been great. You know, like you said, decent walk to strikeout ratio. But just this doesn't have the aura of the Yankees, right? I mean, you'd agree with that. Like, this is, you can't just say he's a Yankee. We have to own him in fantasy anymore. It's just not the same Yankees lineup.
I just think you have to own him if you need a corner infielder. You don't have to own him if you have a one first baseman lead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
We go down to two down, Josh Donaldson. Since June 7th, Josh Donaldson is batting 144 with two home runs, 13 RBI, five walks, and 24 strikeouts. Do you guys know what happened on June 7th?
Got hit with the pitch?
That's exactly right. That was the Manny Machado game where Machado tagged him awkwardly. Or no, Donaldson tagged him.
Yeah.
But then later in the game, they threw at Donaldson. He got hit. I believe it was on the hand. And he's been bad ever since. And I haven't read anything about that being the cause for it. But I feel like there's this...
You're connecting dots, aren't you?
I feel like it hasn't gotten enough attention. 144 since June 7th. July 10th, people. It's a month.
Can we go play some Connect Four now? Now that you said connect the dots.
Does anybody ever win a Connect Four? Like, haven't we gotten to the point where we're just going to tie every time?
Maybe, I guess still, if that's why it's like, what, for ages 8 or something like that? They don't know what they're doing, so
it's
kind of
like tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
If you play, if two adults play tic-tac-toe and one of them wins, like, that's pretty bad.
I'm sorry for that tangent, my bad.
No, I appreciate it. All right, Donaldson, and the other one is Dozier, who's in two down, who had a good day yesterday with two doubles and two runs. Previous 22 games for Dozier, batting 190, one home run, one steal. So,
ouch.
What do you guys think about Doja and Donaldson?
Well, because you've got, I think, an interesting theory with Donaldson that explains all this, I'm more worried about him. With Doja, I think I just write this off as a slump, and he's developed enough power consistency and stolen base consistency over the last couple of years that I'm not too worried about him.
Doja over Pedroia, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I know I've got him there now. Yeah.
So I don't want to alarm people too much with Donaldson, but I just think it's worth mentioning. And then he's supposed to play in the All-Star game next week. If he plays, you know, you think if he's hurt, he'd ask to skip it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more of an NBA thing and a pro and an NFL thing, I guess.
So it's an MLB thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. All right. Well, I have nothing more to say about Josh Donaldson. Just wanted to bring that up. Rotation! Dallas Keuchel. Last six starts. 15 walks, 23 strikeouts, and 38 innings pitched. So I know the results haven't really been that good lately, but are you concerned about the fact that his K rate is decreasing?
Well, his slump started when he was having the wrist problems. So here we go with another guy with hand-wrist problems, and this is a pitcher. I wrote in my column this week, I got the question, is he droppable now? I said I'd wait a few more starts after the All-Star break because now he's going to get a rest and maybe he just needs a week off from throwing and that will be what cures his ailing wrist.
They did skip a start, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern. Maybe he does need a DL stint. I still am not at the droppable point with Dallas Keuchel. I want to see a few more starts out of the All-Star break before I make any rash decisions.
Kyle Loesch, last seven starts, 2-3, 4.50 ERA. You know, believe it or not, 14-year veteran here, 6.7 K rate, third highest of his career. Anything to say about Loesch, who gave up two home runs and four runs in eight innings yesterday against the Phillies?
Nah, not really. I mean, I've been waiting for like 4 years now for him to to regress, and he never does.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think I and it's been pointed out to me many times. I underrate him, and I'll probably just continue to, especially as long as he's slumping.
And Matt Cain, last three starts, 19 1/3, 18 hits, 4 earned, 7 walks, 14 Ks against Cincinnati, at San Diego, and home against Oakland. So is he turning it around?
I'm still very bearish on Matt Cain. I just look what he's done since the beginning of last season. It's just not very good. This could be a mini hot streak. I don't see any signs of, you know, Matt Cain returning to the form he was. I mean, this could almost be, to me, he's gotten to that point where he's like Tim Lincecum. Do we believe it? Don't we believe it? When Tim Lincecum was started to slide from where he was at the beginning of his career, I mean, we were at that point where he's going to turn around. He's going to turn it around. Here we are with Matt Cain. Is he going to turn around? I'm just not convinced.
I'm not putting Cain in Lincecum territory. Who, you know, I'm only willing to start when he has, you know, three starts versus the Padres
in 1 week. Yeah,
but yeah, Cain is benchable, but I think not droppable yet.
Fringy starting pitchers: Marcus Stroman was bad yesterday. Dylan G was good yesterday. Josh Colemanzer was great yesterday. Nathan Eovaldi was very good except for the strikeouts. In fact, Eovaldi has struck out more than three batters in three of his last 12 starts. Josh Tomlin was eh. Brandon McCarthy pitched pretty well, gave up four runs but only one earned at Cleveland. Ruby De La Rosa was not so good. Two home runs, three runs in five innings against the White Sox. And Kyle Gibson, last four starts, two really good ones, two really bad ones. So of that group, give me your top three. Stroman, G, Colemanzer, Eovaldi, Tomlin, McCarthy, De La Rosa, and Gibson.
Stroman, G, and De La Rosa.
I believe I have G, Eovaldi, and De La Rosa.
No Stroman.
My thing with Stroman is what happened to him yesterday. I mean, he got I said this on Monday. He's inconsistent in my eyes. We don't know if he can string together six good starts in a row. I think it's going to be three and maybe two bad or one bad. And then I'm worried about the fatigue later down the stretch. He's never pitched more than 111 innings as a pro. So it is a bit of concern how he's going to hold up.
Okay. Stroh's a pro. And actually, you know, I said De La Rosa. I do have Gibson higher in my rankings, and I'll keep him there. But that's more just my concerns about whether or not the Red Sox will keep De La Rosa up. But yeah, pound for pound, I'd rather have Ruby.
Bullpen news. Yes. Joe Nathan threw a scoreless inning, got a save, two strikeouts, three straight scoreless appearances for Nathan. Joe Smith got another save. That's nine straight scoreless appearances for Smith and seven in a row without giving up a hit. Jeremy Affelt, Sergio Romo, Santiago Casilla, each tossed one perfect inning. Casilla got the save. The White Sox bullpen was pathetic, really ticked me off quite a bit. Chris Sale lost his win. Jake Petrichka gave up three hits, two runs, and a walk, and did not record an out in the eighth. He came on with two outs in the eighth. I don't know if he was going to get a four-out save or not. Never materialized. And then Javi Guerra was bad in the ninth, so they stunk. And Steve Cishek gave up three runs yesterday at Arizona. Henry Mejia gave up two hits and a wild pitch, but still managed to throw a scoreless inning and get a save. And Jake McGee started the eighth with a two-run lead, only got one out. He gave up two bloop singles, and then Brad Boxberger came in, finished the eighth. Then Joel Peralta came in, started the ninth, up 4-2, but he was bad, and Kirby Yates blew the save, gave him a three-run homer. A lot of stuff there. What's significant?
I hope Joe Maddon's happy. He got to use, you know, like four different closers there.
In two innings.
Yeah.
Even though they lost? Is he still happy?
No.
If you see the line, though, from McGee and you see the two hits, they were really cheap hits. So don't be too worried. How about the White Sox?
I'm just – there's nobody there I want.
Yeah.
I guess the guy on here that concerns me is Steve Cishek. He's been really bad lately. Mm-hmm. I know the loss to the Phillies really wasn't his fault. I mean, if Donovan Solano played better defense, he could have got out of that jam. But Joe Smith, I mean, you know, I heard Scott say on the show yesterday, we were talking about this, how Sosa doesn't want him in the closer's role. Jason Gurley's been really good since he's come over to the Angels. He could easily slide into that closer's role and have Joe Smith back in that multiple, you know, versatility role. But Joe Smith's been really good. And right now, Joe Smith, I think, is twice as owned as Santiago Casilla. Well, Casilla has a better chance, in my eyes, of keeping the job than Smith. But Smith, if they're going to be in a pennant race and Smith is pitching this well, they may just leave their bullpen the way it is and not mess with success.
I feel like I perpetuated this myth about Joe Smith pitching a lot of innings, multiple innings per outing. He's done that once all year. Every other time he's thrown one inning or less. So
they mean versatile, like he can come in a right-handed situation, they can go to a left-hander, you know, that kind
still,
of thing.
Like,
so
you don't, if he's your best pitcher, you throw him in the ninth.
I agree.
But, I mean, I get it, what you guys have been saying. Deep leagues, Enrique Hernandez, still 4% owned, the second baseman slash outfielder for the Astros. Jake Smolinski is up for the Rangers, and he's 5-for-10 with a double, and we talked about Nolan Reimold. Who's your favorite there, Enrique Hernandez, Jake Smolinski, or Nolan Reimold?
I'd say Hernandez because of the second base eligibility. But, you know, as we said before, you know, Reimold's got some power, and he's got an opportunity to play regularly right now. So it's pretty close between those two.
Here are some more news and notes for you. Brett Anderson could start for Colorado Saturday. Anyone care?
unless he returns to the Brett Anderson of old, no.
Taiwan Walker was sent down to AAA. Perhaps will be called up soon after the All-Star break. Jason Castro could be back Friday for Houston. Dexter Fowler Saturday. You know Escobar, the Rays shortstop, should be back Friday. Daniel Hudson, Arizona starting pitcher, could be back in August as he recovers from Tommy John surgery. Is that interesting?
Reliever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So not very, unfortunately.
Carlos Ruiz could be back soon. Oscar Tavares played center field. Alan Craig right. Minnesota is going to start Chris Johnson at Colorado Friday. So what's the deal with Alex Meyer and Trevor May?
Well, and I did see that tweet from Lavelle Neal a couple days ago saying that those guys wouldn't be up until, or one of those two, May and Meyer, wouldn't be up until July 22nd, I think was the date he gave. So, I'm not sure why that's the magic date.
And that's maybe, only if Nolasco's not ready to come back, right?
Correct. I don't mind the fact that they don't trot one of those guys out to make a debut at Colorado. So, maybe that's their thinking, too. I don't know.
Marcell Ozuna has a 15-game hitting streak. He is the number 20 outfielder in Roto, number 31 points. Evan Gattis likely won't be immediately ready after the All-Star break. And Ryan Zimmerman DH last night. Rendon played third, Espinoza second, and Espinoza's 0 for his last 22.
Can we just talk about the Marlins outfield situation real quick? Because I want to get it from a Marlins fan. They have four quality outfielders, and Jake Marisnick's obviously the guy who keeps bouncing between the minors and the majors. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to trade him? Are they going to try and stay in Stanton long term? Is he eventually gone?
I mean, there's Stanton trade rumors. Yeah. I saw one yesterday, about him going to the Red Sox.
In the offseason, right?
Later this year with Middlebrooks going back. Yeah, these are rumors. But so that's a possibility. And I don't know that Marisnik's got the bat to stick as a starting outfielder.
So you think he's more of a fourth outfielder?
Yeah, I think possibly.
Okay, let's go to the emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put baseball podcast in the subject line. Okay, sorry, I was just looking up this reference here. Ian in Ottawa says, "Dear Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles."
I was thinking The Wire because of Bubbles, but
no,
they don't have any characters of Ricky and Julian.
You're wrong. It's the Trailer Park Boys. All right, between these fringe guys, who would you take in a second utility spot? Duda, Stubbs, Lorenzo Cain, B.J. Upton, or Crone?
Crone or Duda?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'll go Duda there.
From Kyle, "I'm looking for a backup infielder to keep on my bench. Which of these guys would you prefer rest of season? 12-team Roto League. Bogarts, Brad Miller, Jed Jerko, or Chase Headley?"
This is going to sound really weird, but Chase Headley, he switched the grip on his bat, and he's been producing really well lately since he's done that.
Until the last 2 days, where he's been garbage at Colorado. And this is what I'm talking about with these hitters who say they made some adjustment, yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, you're on a hot streak, so great.
Well,
it's
no, work for J.D. Martinez, working for Steve Pierce, working for Jordy
Mercer.
Yeah,
well, J.D. Martinez, like, completely reinvented his swing.
So did Steve Pierce.
Sometimes it works. Yeah. I mean, Marlon Byrd changed his swing yet last
but
year.
But if he was saying, this is it. What, when I was hitting my best, this is the grip I had. So if he's saying that, and where he was, and Al is a huge, you know, Chase Headley fan as well, mm-hmm. And he could get traded to Toronto, right? Isn't that the big rumor going around? Uh-huh. And if he goes to Hitters Park, so out of those guys, I would probably stash him.
Al?
Rad Miller.
From Alex. At this point, would you drop Everett Cabrera for Arizmendi Alcantara?
Got this question on Twitter yesterday, so I have to wonder if maybe it's the same guy. But what I told that person, or maybe this person, unless it's a categories league where you are overloaded with steals, I would stash Cabrera.
From Jonathan, happy hump day, fellas. Okay, thank you for sending that yesterday. I'm reading it today. 12-team head-to-head categories league. I'm stashing Danny Salazar and wondering if you think I should stick with him rather than Drew Smyly or Willie Peralta.
Willie Peralta is my guy. Go with him.
Salazar for me.
What's up?
What do you mean? Go with Peralta?
Yeah.
I think you can pick two, though. So if you had to pick two between Smyly, Peralta, and Salazar, categories league.
Well, Peralta and Salazar for the fact that Smyly, we talked about at the beginning of the show, could get shut down for innings.
Okay.
Get Peralta to be my odd guy out.
This is from Nick in the land of Lincoln and the home of the Simpsons.
That'd be Springfield.
Yeah. Except we don't know which state Springfield's in. They once said it was Kentucky, but I'm not really sure if that's true or not.
Hmm.
Okay, this is a guy calling me out for not having any condiments in my apartment, and I wanted Herc to weigh in since he lives alone. No condiments as a bachelor? Seriously? There are free salt and pepper shakers on every table in every McDonald's in America, not to mention every other restaurant, fast food joint. Also, no hot sauce? Come on, fellas. Hot sauce is a must. You should not be allowed to play fantasy sports if you do not own a bottle of Sriracha or Frank's. Sriracha?
Nick, you are the man, Nick.
You have condiments in your house?
I own Frank's hot sauce. I own mustard, ketchup, you name it, jalapenos, everything there.
What is the crazy burger that you make?
Oh, it's great. So what I do is a ground round patty, and then I put Doritos on it, vegetarian beans, cheese, and Goulden's mustard.
No, but don't you put some hot sauce on that, too?
And I put jalapenos. Yeah.
Oh, jalapenos, so, yeah.
That sounds awful.
It is delicious.
That sounds like it would put me in the hospital.
I'm still standing.
Yeah. All right, we're done. Fun show today. Thank you, everybody. And we're back tomorrow with, you know, starter sit for week 16 coming up.
Unbelievable. Wow. The truth.
See you later.